And every day we're out in our world. Is that right? And you say that I'm being a little too extreme. Could I say something? And John, you are free to correct me on anything I say up here. You know that. There is no Christianity except extreme Christianity. It's not in the Bible. You will not find a moderate, easygoing Christianity in the Bible. Just read the book of Acts. It's not there. It's radical or nothing. That's Christianity. That's the call of Jesus. Jesus said, "When you follow me, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself." Right? Now, anybody who's getting condemned, Lord, we just rebuke that spirit of condemnation right now in Jesus' name. Don't want you to get condemned. I just want you to join in with your whole heart, to join into what you've sung to the Lord. Send me. Okay, now we're talking practically, right? We're going to do it, church, aren't we? We're going to do it. We're going to bust through our fear. Aaron and Matthew and Josiah, come up here real quick. Just come. Okay. This is going to hurt either you or me, okay? Make a wall. Okay? All right. That's kind of intimidating, isn't it? These guys. This is how I feel. This is how I feel in my house. All right, here we go. Now, that represents the wall of fear. How many of you face the wall of fear when it comes to preaching the gospel? I got to tell you something. You ain't going to get through it by going, "Oh, Lord, help." Now, you should pray. You should cry out to God to remove the fear. There's one way to get through it. There's only one way. That's it. I'm sorry, you okay? Thanks, guys. Okay. That's it. There's only one way. John, when we go witnessing, there's only one way, isn't there? There's only one way. I remember I was trained out in California to do open-air preaching. And while I was out there, I was scared to death. And I was so... I mean, these other guys were getting up there and I was gulping and I did it a couple times. And then we got back here. By the way, we're not asking any of you to do open-air preaching except John. When we do training this coming Saturday here at this church from 10 to 2, the last part of it is we're going to Annapolis. If the weather's okay, we'll go to the docks. If it's not, we'll go to the mall. Wherever people are, we'll go. Okay? And nobody's going to be forced to do anything. Really. You won't. But we want you to come and get a little training, and we want you to get out there. Even if you being out there means praying for the people who are doing it. We're going to train you on some one-to-one witness. Okay. So I got back, and I remember I knew, Peeler, if you're going to preach the gospel, you've got to get rid of this fear. And I remember going down with Charity and Faith and a few other friends to the docks, the city docks. You've been there, haven't you? And I had my box, my crate. And had that crate, and I was acting brave around everybody, and I was so, you wouldn't believe how scared I was. Right? And we kind of put the box down, and I was looking around and wondering if we were going to be able to get any people, and I was prancing. And they were saying, "Dad, when are we going to..." "We'll just pray. We'll just go. We'll get there. And finally, I made myself get up on that box, and when I started to preach, fear backed away. It backed away. And when you open your mouth, when you get trained, you need training, you need tools. You've got to know what you're going to say, because if you go out there not knowing what you're saying, you probably won't want to go out there again. Okay, you've got to at least have, you don't need a year of training, you don't need a month of training. Just let us spend a part of a day with you and give you some basic stuff. Aaron, where's Aaron? Aaron, come on up here real quick, okay? Before you know it, everybody in this place is going to be up here. Now, do we have a, well, here you go. Aaron, you came to the mall when we did training last time, right? Mm-hmm. And you didn't want to.
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
Okay. Tell us what happened briefly.
Well, I was sort of dragged here by my husband because he's an elder, so I have to look good and be here with him. So here I was doing what I, the least favorite thing in the whole wide world, the thought of doing any sort of street witnessing is just terrifying. So came and sat through the training, which was eye-opening at best. I just really want to encourage you guys to come out. Find a way to get here on Saturday to go through the materials. The way the master stuff is just awesome. It's just nothing that I had ever heard before. And it makes sharing your faith, whether it's with a friend, somebody at work, somebody on the street, whoever, it just makes it so, I guess, easy. And it's not like a program, but it's just, it's something to kind of take people to their hearts. And that's what was so eye-opening to me is, I think I was so scared, and I still am terrified of the thought, but, you know, it's like, how do you approach somebody? How do you open that conversation? Again, whether it's a friend or a coworker or somebody on the street, how do you just go up and say, you know, are you going to hell? I mean, how do you do that? And I think that's what was so wonderful about the way the master and what Pastor Peeler brought to us was it's just a way to sort of open the door and kind of give you a format to, again, help bring things to the heart. And you don't have to get caught up in intellectual debates and arguments, and because that doesn't matter. The point is that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. He's the way. And so I had all these reasons not to go to the mall. Anyways, got there, and you know, we're walking through the mall, and it's awesome because he pairs you up with either one of his children or somebody who's done this a lot and are the experts. And so you can go, and there's no expectation on you. You know, there's nothing that says, okay, here you go out and do it. Just sort of walk through the mall, and you're praying and kind of watching the experts do it. And it's awesome. And kind of as you go, and Lisa and I have sort of talked about this, I think that was sort of your experience too. It just opens your eyes. You know, I think God kind of helps you to open, to kind of see into eternity a little bit and see people from a different perspective. Not just people that you're walking by in the mall, but people that are potentially going to hell. And it just encourages you to kind of get out of that little safety comfort zone that you have and just try it. And the little $1 million bills are awesome because you give it to people and they think they're so cool. And so it just opens this dialogue and it's totally natural. And what he said about getting up on the crate, which I would never do, but if he get up on it. But that fear, it's so true. I know that that's what the enemy uses all the time, you know, to discourage us. Again, if it's just in our everyday lives, and getting up and just doing it, it's just awesome how God just opens the door. And I think, I know I need to stop. I think that, you know, that fear is so interesting. I think Satan does so many things in our lives to convince us that we don't really need to share our faith. For so long, I've sort of lived in the perspective that it's just my life. You know, I just need to live it out. God will be the light in me. And yes, we do. Absolutely, we do. We have to be set apart from the world. The world needs to see us as something different than what they see every day. But if we never open our mouths, if we never share, and I'm talking to myself here because it's still really hard. If we never let people know why we're different, then they don't know, you know? So I just encourage you guys, if you have or you haven't come out to an evangelism seminar, do it. It really is, it's awesome. So
thank you so much, Erin. Yes. By the way, the training we're going to do this Saturday is going to be like a follow-up. So those of you who came before, this will be some of it new material. Those of you who didn't come, it'll still be fresh for you. And it will be a blessing. I know it will be a blessing. She said something interesting about what it does to your faith. We have found... Erin, just stand up a minute where you are there, okay? We have found that... That for young and old, well, Erin, what does it do for your own personal faith, being out there witnessing? You hadn't been involved a lot in this until the last year, right? And
yeah,
so
it makes it come alive personally. To see a person that is the exact same for God other
than Christ, and it strengthens your own faith, doesn't it? And that's what we find. It makes it more real. And that's what we would say to you. Thank you. It makes the gospel itself come alive. So let's talk then. How do I go about preaching the gospel? And first of all, the necessity of the law in fulfilling the mission of preaching the gospel. Let me say this. In America, we have preached a watered-down gospel for so long that most of us are confused about what the gospel even is. We don't even know what the gospel is. And it's been a message that has basically said, oh, you're hurting, you're in trouble, come to Jesus and He'll fill the hole in your heart and He'll make you a happy, successful person. That's what we've said to people. And they've walked the aisle and they've come and we've said, repeat this prayer. All you have to do is accept Jesus in your heart. And you just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, forgive me for my sins, and Jesus, come and live inside of me, amen. And do you know what? There are many people, not all, but many people who have done something like that, and they are no more converted than a rock sitting out in your parking lot. Are you all with me now? Does that stun some of you or shock, or do you agree? Some of you agree. It is a dangerous thing that we have done. We have sinned against people. We have lied to them about it. Listen, Jesus Christ did not come. He did not come to die on the cross so you could have a happy life on earth. That wasn't His mission. Now, thank God, with the gospel, there are benefits of joy and peace and blessing. But a big part of what happens when you enter into true discipleship in Jesus are tribulation and persecution and problems. And if we're promising people a life of ease when they come to Jesus, we're lying to them, yes?
Right.
And we have. We have lied to them. And we must, if we're going to preach the true gospel, we must preach the law of God. Let's look at some scriptures. Galatians 3:24, read with me. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Next one, Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. When the Apostle Paul went into places to preach the gospel, he preached the law of God. Because look what it says right there. I would not have known sin except through what? And look, if I don't know that I'm in sin, why do I need a Savior? And I've heard it said in the past, and I repented for saying this myself way in the past. Well, we know the people are just hurting. They already know they're sinners. They just need to know Jesus loves them. Linda, just stand up if you would. My wife, Linda, whom I adore. Linda, come on up here with me, please. And I am so thankful to have Linda as my wife. I want you to answer the question. Do people know that they're sinners?
It's amazing how many... I'd say no, absolutely not. When we go out and we talk to people, and we'll often say, you know, there's two groups of people. There's a group of people that think that they're good enough to get to heaven, and then there's a group of people that know that there's no way that they can be good enough. More than 90% put themselves over here.
And we ask them the question, what do you consider yourself to be
a good
person?
Person.
What do we hear?
Yes, 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 all the time.
And there's no sense of contrition or brokenness over sin.
No, no. But when you start talking to them about the law, and when you start asking them questions, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen something? It's amazing the conviction that comes on. It's in their hearts. They have a conscience. It's there, just drawing it out so that they can see it. It's an amazing thing to watch.
It is so fun to have my love and my wife being a partner with me in the gospel when we go. And it's not just when we go out on Friday nights or Saturdays. Every time Linda and I go on a date, it's almost always a witnessing encounter of some kind, isn't it? I'd love to tell you some of those stories. And maybe on Saturday I'll have a chance to tell you. It's amazing, some of those stories. Just totally. Anyway, okay. I would not have known sin except through the law. People have got to hear the law. Okay, look at this quote. Romans 7:9, Paul says, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Here's what Luther said. So it is with the work righteous and the proud unbelievers. Because they do not know the law of God, which is directed against them, it is impossible for them to know their sin. Therefore also they are amenable to instruction. If they would know the law, they would also know their sin. And sin to which they are now dead would become alive in them. And, that's what Luther said, when sin becomes alive in a person, they get troubled. But Chris, we don't want to trouble people. Oh, yes, we do. Why do you want to do that? Because until they're troubled about their sin, they have no need for a Savior. We got into our third assisted living home up in Catonsville. It's called Paradise. It's really quite an experience to go to Paradise and preach hell. You know? And one of the days I was preaching the gospel and judgment and righteousness, and I'm saying goodbye to the people at the end, and there's way back in the back against the wall, there's this, of course they're all older folks, and there's this older woman back there named Jean. And Jean, her face is kind of contorted, she's like a stroke looks like, and she's kind of one eye's kind of more shut than the other, and you know, I'm wondering if she heard anything I said. Some of these people have dementia. It's quite an experience going to the assisted living homes. Pray for us. These people are put there to die, and the vast majority of them do not know the Lord. It's a harvest. It's an unbelievable harvest field. So anyway, I go to Jean, and I'm saying goodbye. You know, it's being nice goodbye to her. She looks at me, and she says, every word you said today meant something to me. And suddenly, I'm not interested in leaving as much as I was. And she says, I have a question for you. I said, what is your question? She said, you said we're supposed to love, or no, she didn't say you said. She said, I'm supposed to love God more than anything else, right?